You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit www.ofgnomesanddwarves.com. The door to the machine closed so smoothly and rapidly that Joey didn't even have time to react. It was surprising that it didn't go dark despite the lack of a visible light source. Even more intriguing was that it frightened him. Elsa? He didn't want her to worry, even though he didn't know how he was going to get out. His voice didn't seem to make any sound other than that inside his own head. There was no echo like there should be inside of a metallic cylinder. He banged on the side with his fist. That also made no noise. It was like being trapped in a vacuum, except he could breathe. The button he'd pushed wasn't there anymore. Now he grew concerned. Elsa! Joey pounded against the wall with no response in the way of sound from either side of the machine's wall. It had to be made of some sound-dampening material, but what? The sound of rustling leaves stirred all around him. Even a mild breeze started. The sound and the breeze both increased in intensity. Now it was a fine time to panic. Slamming against the door did no good. In fact, it just plain hurt. Tendrils of white shot up from the floor and wrapped up his feet and then his legs. He tried to tear them off with no success. Breath came in short gasps. This can't be happening. This is a machine. What is it doing to me? Why is it doing this? It shouldn't even be working. God, what is happening? The white tendrils wrapped his arms to his body snugly, but not uncomfortably. Joey tried to take a deep breath before his face was covered over, but wasn't successful, as it spun a cocoon over his head. He was, however, still able to breathe. He relaxed slightly, but was afraid he might have wet himself. What would it matter? Maybe this was his death machine, and Elsa was just waiting outside for him to be dead. There was a sensation of the floor falling away, and everything went dark. By the warm feeling between his legs, Joey was now certain of what he'd done. The darkness was bitterly cold and almost unbearable. He shivered, and his teeth chattered slightly. Was this what it felt like to die? You wet yourself, and then everything goes dark? But that couldn't happen, right? Elsa said her husband and son disappeared inside the machine. Where did they end up? Was he going to suddenly end up on the moon or something? That would be pretty bad. He'd last for about 10 seconds before the freezing cold stiffened his body to near absolute zero. What a way to go. What a stupid thing to do. Pushing that button was not a smart thing to do. What was I thinking? Light crashed into him brutally. This sure wasn't the near-death experience he'd heard about. Those were supposed to be gentle and serene. This was intense and painful. This wasn't how it was supposed to be at all. If he was dying, why was he in pain? The white tendrils that had wrapped him like a mummy were gone now. The floor was a metal grate with a fine mesh pattern on it. Why am I looking at the floor? Joey tried to lift his head, but it felt as if it were full of water, and he bobbed from side to side each time he tried to move. What a horrible feeling. If he hadn't just crashed his bike, this might not feel so awful, but deep down, he knew it would. Yes, it would hurt. A pair of black boots stood on the grating in front of him. June, get up here, now! The voice was strong and commanding. Was it coming from the person wearing the boots? The person in the boots leaned down. His face was blurry. It had brown hair and a brown caterpillar mustache. If anything, the smile reassured Joey.
It's going to be okay, kid. I've dealt with this before. Only once before, but before. We'll take care of you.
A female voice came from nowhere.
Vic, I'm busy and I'm strapped in. What do you need?
It's important.
But Vic...
June, get up here. We've got someone on the ship.
What do you mean, someone?
You know what I mean. Now get up here and help me out.
There was a long silence. The man, his name must be Vic, helped Joey to his feet.
June is on her way. Everything's going to be all right, kid. Well, I guess that depends on your version of all right, but it's the best I can do for you at the moment.
It was difficult getting to his feet. It was rather like being a half-inflated blow-up toy. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't keep his feet firmly planted.
Vic, I'm busy. What do you mean?
The female voice was closer than the speaker, but still fuzzy. Joey turned his head and looked down a narrow passageway. Everything was steel gray and dull in appearance. Everything that was except the soft shape in the middle of the passageway.
Put him on ice until we have a chance to deal with him.
Who is he?
Like I know that?
Well, what am I supposed to do with him?
I figured you'd be the best one to deal with this, as you've been through this too.
So what?
June, we're in the middle of being chased by the cops. I don't have time to argue with you. Just please take him downstairs and give him something.
June grunted and put her arm around Joey's waist. Vic put Joey's arm around June's shoulder.
June's going to take care of you, kid. I think the two of you might even have a few things to talk about while you're down there. might make the transition easier. Joey managed to open his mouth and squeak a couple of words out.
What transmission?
I don't have time, kid. June will have to answer that. And Vic disappeared. The sudden loss of Vic meant that he had to put all of his weight on June. She was softer than Vic, and Joey didn't like being a burden on her. It took all his masculinity away. He tried to stand up.
Don't even try it, bud. I tried to be all tough when I got here, too. It's not going to get you anywhere. Just let me lead you down to where you can lie down until the feeling passes.
How long?
It took me a few hours.
Where?
You don't want to know right now, bud. Trust me on that one.
Joey fought with his brain. He did want to know. He had to know. He obviously wasn't in Elsa's garage anymore. That machine still worked. It transported him somewhere, and two people were here at least, Vic and June. Could Vic be Victor? Elsa's son? That wasn't possible. Vic would be in his 50s at least. This man's face, although blurry and hard to make out, couldn't have been more than 25 or 30.
I'm not going to tell you anything, and I don't think you should try to talk. I'm going to ask some simple questions, and you can just nod or shake your head. Do you understand?
Joey nodded.
Have you eaten recently?
Had he? He'd had tea with Elsa, and he'd left home before he'd had dinner. Suddenly he realized how hungry he was. He shook his head.
We'll have to get something into your stomach. It'll help this feeling go away faster. I'm going to take you to the kitchen. When was the last time you went to the bathroom?
June looked down at Joey's pants.
Huh, that sucks. Look, I'll help you get some food, but you're changing yourself. I'll get you some overalls or something, but I'm not playing nurse. That's not my job.
Joey would have blushed if he had control over his body, but he didn't. He could still feel the cold wetness in his pants.
So, you look all tore up. What happened?
No, on second thought, tell me later. At least it looks like someone bound you up before you came here. I guess we know the machine is still working.
What is it?
I told you, I'll tell you later. You need to get better first. Here's the kitchen, watch your head. The doorway to the kitchen was low, and Joey lolled his head forward. It wanted to loll to the side and accidentally nuzzled June's neck. Her hair was strawberry blonde and felt nice on his face. She smelled good, but something reminded Joey of his mother.
Hey, I'm here to help you out, not be your boy toy.
Sorry.
And you should be.
She dumped him into a seat. His body tensed in pain and his eyes came back into focus for a moment, then blurred again. With his focused vision, he got a brief glimpse of the kitchen. It looked like two long picnic tables constructed of the same metal as the walls, but with some padding. There were lines along one wall that Joey thought might be cabinets, and when June opened one, he was proud of himself for figuring that out.
June!
Look, Vic, I can only do one thing at a time, you know.
June, belt in. We need to stop and make another jump. Should be quick this time. Make sure the kid is belted in, too.
June sighed, slammed the cabin door closed, and sat down next to Joey.
Okay, bud. You're going to get your first experience with hyperspace.
She pulled a seatbelt-looking device from under the bench and buckled herself in. She then pushed a button on the buckle.
This is like a seatbelt in a car, but we'll place a dampening field around you. You're already sick, and this will probably make it worse.
She did the same for Joey, and he could do nothing to resist.
Now, just try to take deep breaths and relax. We're going to do this a few times, I guess. Just go with it. I'll try to feed you when we're not making jumps.
June!
He's buckled!
Dampening field? Hyperspace? Those things weren't real, yet she spoke of them as if they were reality.
Why did he push that button?
Joey felt his insides turn outside. If he had eaten anything, it surely would have come up. There was a brief sensation of no movement and weightlessness before the lurching sensation happened again.
Welcome aboard the spaceship Acid Rat, bud.
Sheriff Justice, this is Counselor Petrine from Galactic Central Point Central Office. We will convene in 2 days to discuss your request to continue pursuit beyond your solar system's sphere of influence.
2 days? 2 days? Are you serious? I can't sit here and wait 2 days while the criminal flees. Do you realize how far away he'll be in 2 days?
Sheriff Justice, this is not our problem. If you had apprehended the suspect prior to his leaving your system or planned for this contingency, then perhaps...
BT Justice cut him off.
How do you plan for someone to come in and take a load of Tanindrium?
Again, that is not our problem. Your system is the provider of this product, and it is your own local law that prevents people from taking it without proper approval. Intergalactic law does not prevent independent shipments from being transferred.
They should!
The sheriff nearly bit through his cigar as he ground his teeth.
You can forward the name of the individual and the name of the suspect's ship to the GCP Central Office. We will review the person's record and add his name to your system's wanted list. That's the best I can do right now. Until your request for continuing pursuit beyond your system's boundaries, that will have to wait for 2 days.
Justice slammed his meaty fist down on the council's controls, and the visual display turned off.
Junior!
Yes, Daddy, sir?
I swear I'm going to pound you the next time you call me that.
Sorry, sir.
Junior, I need a hamburger.
I'll get right on that.
This was intolerable. Twice now he had the SS acid rat within his grasp, and twice they had escaped. Sensors had indicated that it stopped about 4 light-years out and made a course change, as well as a serial number change. Not only had the crew broken the law by taking an unauthorized shipment of Tenindrium off the planet, the ship's computer had now broken the law by changing the ship's serial number. Aiding and abetting, he wanted to be there personally when they wiped that computer's memory banks. The crew was silent. His outburst must have been overheard. Not that it was much of a concern. His crew needed to be on their toes, and they always were on their toes when his dander was up.
What was their latest course?
A junior officer turned in his chair.
Sir, they are currently headed towards Galactic Central Point. I think they're headed for the capital.
You think?
BT Justice clapped his hands behind his back.
Did I tell you to think, boy?
Sir?
If I wanted you to think, I would have told you to think. Perhaps you think you can take this hat off my head and do my job.
The sheriff cocked the hat back on his head and leaned down to look the young officer in the eye.
Sir, no, sir.
I'm the one that does the thinking here. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
This is my ship, and if anyone is going to do any thinking on it, it will be me. If you want your opinion, I will give it to you.
Junior ran up holding a plate with a hamburger on it.
Here's your hamburger, Dad, sir.
What's that?
It's a hamburger.
Junior, come here.
BT Justice dragged Junior across the bridge by his ear, pulling the young man's head close.
Did I say I was hungry?
No.
Did I say bring me something to eat?
You said to bring you a hamburger.
If I wanted something to eat, I would have said bring me something to eat. Since when have I ever wanted a hamburger?
Just now?
Son, when I say bring me a hamburger, I mean bring me a drink, preferably as strong as possible.
Why would you say you want a hamburger?
Do you think I want the entire crew to know that I want a drink? Do you think I want them to see me as having a moment of weakness? Do you think I'd ask for a drink in front of the crew?
You just told us all not to think.
Boy, if your mama wasn't dead, I'd clobber you. It's my own fault you grew up so stupid. Now go get me a hamburger.
Junior looked down at the plate with a hamburger, and his eyes widened.
Go!
Why couldn't he have brought that drink the first time? Now I'm going to need something for this headache.
Sir, we're still in the Kuiper Belt. Did GCP Central Office give permission for us to continue pursuit?
They hadn't, had they? But they didn't say specifically that he had to stay put. Not in those specific terms. And if he got out of there now and was able to capture them, he could return them to his system before actually pronouncing them under arrest. No one had to know. It could work. It had to work. He couldn't go back to the planet in embarrassment for having the largest shipment of Tenindrium leave the planet on an unauthorized vessel.
Follow their course.
Sir?
Did I tell you to think or to punch in their last known coordinates and follow them?
Yes, sir. Setting controls now. Here's your hamburger.
Junior said hamburger in a coughing sound as he handed the drink to Sheriff Justice. He took the drink and downed it in one swallow and handed the glass back to Junior.
I need another. This one's empty. And hurry, we're about to make the jump to hyperspace.
There had been several more stops and starts. June had shoved something in Joey's mouth and he ate it, but wasn't quite certain what it had been. Tasted like chicken, and steadied his head. The details were foggy, but his clothes were gone, and he was wearing coveralls. He'd checked the new pockets and still had his wallet and pocket knife. He was finally dry, at least. The kitchen, now that he could have a better look around, had 2 picnic-type tables with benches. All were attached to the floor and held multiple seats. Cupboards lined one wall, and refrigerators on another. The refrigerators had clear doors, so the contents, most of which looked to be terrestrial, such as apples, slabs of meat, and cartons of liquid, could be seen. There were things that looked like branches that moved slowly, like a wooden octopus.
June, now that Joey could see her clearly, was beautiful. She had long blonde hair that framed her round face. She had eyes of an emerald green that almost looked too deep green to be real. In his current state, he couldn't keep his eyes on her face, and they kept drifting down to her shapely body, garbed in a tight-fitting black outfit trimmed in hot pink.
"Keep your eyes up here, bud. You're in no shape to go getting any ideas like that."
"Sorry. So, what's your name?"
"Joey."
"Joey what?"
"Provosky."
"Where are you from?"
"Earth."
"I know you're from Earth. I kind of figured that one out on my own. I mean, are you from San Diego, too?"
"Too?"
"Don't worry. Your one-word vocabulary is normal. I went through it when I got here, too."
"You?
You're in no condition to hear how I got here, I can assure you of that, bud. I mean, I know what you're going through. The disorientation will pass, then you'll really be in for a shock."
"Shock?"
"Look, this near monosyllabic conversation is getting really dull. I'm going to go back to work. You stay here with that belt on and don't touch anything. Do you understand?"
Joey nodded his head. His brain was semi-functional, and that was a blessing, but he still didn't have full control over his body. His head dipped once again to June's chest, and she snorted in disgust and stomped out of the room. At least now he'd have a chance to think. So he was aboard a spaceship. Somehow that just didn't sink in. He doubted it ever would. How could that machine back in Elsa's garage have transported him into a spaceship? There wasn't technology like that. He must have passed out, and this was all some strange dream. He'd flipped over the handlebars on his bike, and she gave him some kind of drug. That had to be it. He was hallucinating. He was still on Earth. But why the strange lurching feelings? He had wet himself, so perhaps that was just his body getting sick and trying to get the drugs out of his system. That had to be it. June was probably just Elsa trying to take care of him. So why the strange questions? She wasn't reacting like Elsa had. June was snippy and short with him, yet gentle at other times. She was a girl. That's why. That's what girls did, wasn't it? Even once in space? Well, she had asked him if he was from San Diego, so she must be, too. Joey tried to stand up, but was restrained by the belt. He wanted to get up and get away. Even though he could focus on things, there was nothing he wanted to focus on. There had to be a way out of here, a way back home. He didn't want to be here. Something oozed in through the doorway. It was an iridescent green and flowed like thick slime.
"God, it's coming right at me!"
The slime made sucking noises as it moved across the floor and was nearing Joey's foot. Joey was still trying to figure out how to undo the belt. Now would be a good time to be free. What was that other person's name?
"Vic!"
"Hey, kid. Hope everything is all right down there."
"Green slime!"
"I'm coming down, kid. Sit tight."
"Fast!"
"Keep your pants on. I'm coming."
Joey held his feet straight out, but the slime, after not discovering the feet where they should have been, extended upwards. It was agonizingly slow, and Joey didn't have enough strength to hold his legs up for long.
"Droop up. Leave him alone. He's new on the ship."
The man who'd said it was the face Joey had seen. The same brown hair and brown caterpillar mustache. He was wearing a cream-colored shirt under a black vest and black pants that matched his black boots. His voice was deep and commanding. The green slime made a burping, farting noise.
"I don't care if you're hungry and want to be human-shaped. He's a guest right now, and you're not going to eat him."
It made a depressed, gasping sound and oozed back out the door. Joey started breathing again.
"Sorry about that, kid. How you doing?"
"Good. What was that?"
"I see you're making a little more sense now. That was Jupnop."
"What's a Jupnop?"
The encounter had done something to get Joey's metabolism up, and his mind was actually clearer. His brain no longer felt like the slime thing looked.
"Jupnop is its name. It's a being we found on the planet Esconoth a couple years ago. He's a good addition to the crew. He can change to whatever he eats. Like the old saying goes, you are what you eat. But with Jupnop, it's more literal than that."
"So, it was going to eat me?"
"Oh, he doesn't eat much. Mostly harmless."
Joey shook his head. Whatever that thing was, it brought reality to bear.
I want to look outside."
"What for? It's just a lot of black out there, kid. I don't know about you, but I'm much more into colors myself. Black is just so depressing."
I don't care. I want to look outside."
Looking outside was going to make this whole thing real. Maybe by looking outside, he'd be able to come to grips with what had happened and try to figure a way out of it.
"Look, kid. My name is Vic."
Vic extended a hand. Joey shook it.
"I'm Joey."
"Well, Joey, let's get that belt off you."
Vic pressed his thumb to the buckle and it detached. I'll have to get your thumbprint so we can encode it into Tootsie's systems.
Tootsie?
Tootsie is the ship's computer. She's really nice, but she can be temperamental.
I heard that, Vic.
The voice came from an overhead speaker. You know I love you.
Masher.
Be nice to her, she'll be nice to you. Just keep that in mind, kid. Come on, let's get you that look outside and I'll introduce you to the rest of the crew.
How many are there?
Heck, I don't know. I lost count. Vic started to walk out of the kitchen.
Vic, where are we?
He stopped. Kid, I'll let you make up your mind about that. Joey, now no longer restrained by the seatbelt, got up and wobbled for a moment. The floor didn't feel entirely stable at first, but he got both feet on the ground. He took a deep breath and was able to follow Vic. The floor was indeed a steel grating and made a clanging noise as they walked, but the walls were something altogether different. They didn't feel like steel, but didn't have the appearance of fabric or drywall. Joey stopped and rubbed his hand over a section of wall.
What is this?
Kid, that's a special material used only in spaceships. It's called duraplasty. It's a lightweight plastic material that can resist puncture. If you punch a hole in this stuff, say with some space debris or a blaster, it'll heal itself.
Blaster? Heal itself?
Kid, you're not in California anymore. In fact, you're not even close. Vic put his arm around Joey's shoulder, and it was then that Joey realized how tall Vic was, and thin. Despite being thin, Vic was strong and pulled Joey along. I've been out here for a while now, and I've got to tell you, it's unlike anything you'll ever see or do back on Earth.
You are Victor?
Vic laughed. I haven't heard that name for years. My mom was the only one to call me that.
Your mother is Elsa?
Yeah, that's her. I thought you may have known her. June knew her, but never talked to her. Her story is a trip. You'll dig it, kid. But first, let's take a gander outside. Vic stopped in front of a wall panel. Last chance. It's a lot of black out there. He reached for a button.
Do it.
Vic pressed the button, and Joey's life was never the same again. It was as if the entire galaxy unrolled at his feet. The lights in the passage went out, and the wall blinked from its dull gray to black. At first, Joey thought he might have gone blind, but his eyes started to focus further and further away. Stars. Billions upon billions of stars. It wasn't only that the wall had gone transparent, but the entire passageway, the ceiling, the floor beneath the metal grating, it was all a window now. Everything was so clear. No light pollution to block even the dimmest stars. Everything was here. Joey looked around and tried to find a familiar star, but everything was out of place. Don't try, kid. We're not even in the same arm of the galaxy as Earth. We're about 70,000 light-years from home right now. Joey thought about this.
You mean, you know where home is?
Vic pointed through a dense smattering of stars. See that? That's the galactic central point. About 1 million stars orbiting the supermassive black hole. Those star systems make up about 90% of the galaxy's population. The rest, like Earth, are so underdeveloped that no one even goes out there. Sure, there's been visits, but no one hangs around for long.
But if you wanted to, you could go home, right?
Vic took a deep breath and shook his head. I don't want to go into it right now. Just enjoy the view. I'll introduce you to the crew. Then you and I and June can sit down and we'll tell you about what's going on. Sound like a plan?
Sure.
Joey returned to staring at the stars.
He was in outer space. He was really away from home and further than he'd ever imagined he'd be. He had hoped that one day he might get to go to the moon, but here he was, thousands of light years away from home. Carlos was never going to believe this one.
Vic pressed the button and the walls went opaque again. Come on, I'll introduce you to Argmon. His bark is worse than his bite.
Bark?
Hey, Argmon, meet the latest edition of the SS Acid Rat crew.
There was a chuffing, growling noise from the passageway.
Vic led Joey into a small room with an outside view. Hundreds of lights and dials blinked in confusing patterns. Two left arms covered in yellowish hair reached around. One of the arms was in a chair, the other in a handshake greeting. The forearm monster that stood up from the chair was about 7 feet tall. Joey was too panic-stricken to notice an exact height, and had the face of a dog. It curled back its lips to reveal a set of fangs, and Joey was sure he was about to be eaten. Again!
Argmon, stop that. I told you when June got here that people get scared when you smile.
Scared wasn't the word for it. Joey felt all the blood drain from his face, and the food he'd eaten threatening to come back up.
The monster lowered its lips and looked downward as if it had just been scolded. Well, it had, hadn't it? Vic had scolded this monster. Joey, after catching his breath, struggled to speak, and only a faint squeak came out.
Now look what you did. You done scared the kid. Just sit back down and keep an eye on things while I show him around.
Argmon shrugged his shoulders and shook his head. When he turned back around, Joey whispered,
"Nice to meet you."
Argmon waved two left hands and remained quiet.
"Sorry about that. I should have given you more warning. He can be quite a surprise when you first meet him, but he's a teddy bear inside."
Vic's tone was reassuring, but Joey wasn't reassured.
"I'm sure."
With an arm around Joey's neck, Vic led him down the passageway.
"This isn't a big ship. I hope you're not disappointed." June was big into Star Trek, and she had expected that it'd be a huge with hundreds of people on board. We're just a small private shipping vessel.
"So, what are you shipping?"
"We're currently bringing a load of Tenindrium to a small planet just on the outskirts of the GCP called Planchar. They haven't been able to get a good shipment in 10 years, so they hired us to bring it to them. That's what we do. We bring select shipments to select clientele."
Joey twisted his face.
"You pointed toward Galactic what's-it-call-it, and we're not heading in that direction."
Vic stopped. "You see, kid, there's something you'll have to learn. I've had to teach this to everyone on the crew. Each planet has its own set of laws. Those laws don't extend beyond the planet's star's sphere of influence."
"Sphere of influence?"
"The point where the star's gravity no longer has any measurable effect. Once we're out of the realm of influence, we're in the clear."
"Wait a minute. You mean you break the law?"
Joey ducked his head under Vic's arm and backed away.
"It's not that cut and dry. You see, like this shipment we've got here, Tenindrium is only found on one planet in the galaxy, Bomda. Those people have a monopoly, and hold on tight to what they've got, and only sell so much to specific distributors. My clients needed some, so they hired me to exchange their money for the proper currency, and I went down to Bomda and bought it with the correct currency. Now, there's a law in Bomda that only licensed vessel can haul Tenindrium away from the planet. But that's a local law, not a GCP law. Follow?"
"No."
"Since we're not in their star's sphere of influence anymore, we're not breaking any laws."
"But you broke the law in that system."
"You're looking at this from the wrong angle, kid. We're doing what's right so people on Planchar can have a shipment of Tenindrium."
"Are you trying to tell me that you're out here breaking local laws like Robin Hood?"
"See? Now you've got it."
Once again, Vic put his arm around Joey's shoulder and pulled him along. If Vic was Robin Hood, what did that make the rest of his crew? His merry men? And was June his maid Marion? This was crazy. Joey pulled free of Vic again. He had to put an end to this. This wasn't where he belonged, and certainly wasn't what he was supposed to be doing. He was supposed to be on Earth.
"Vic, do you know your mother is at home waiting for you, and your father to return? I talked to her, and she misses you desperately."
Vic deflated and shook his head.
"Look, kid, do you want the truth now, or do you want to wait until we talk to June?"
"I think I'd like it now."
"You're not going to like it."
"I don't care. I don't belong here. I belong back on Earth. I'm supposed to be home right now doing my homework and getting ready for school tomorrow. I shouldn't even be here. If I hadn't crashed my bike and gotten all banged up, I would have never met your mom and I would never be here."
Joey cupped his hands over his face and cried. He felt like such an idiot.
"Joey, if I could have gone home, don't you think I'd be there right now? Don't you think I miss my mom? Don't you think June misses her parents?"
Actually, Joey hadn't thought of that. There were a lot of other things Joey hadn't thought about, and now that his mind was clearer...
"Why are you so young?"
Vic's eyes lit up. "Now you're asking the right questions. Let's go find June. She can tell you her story, and then we'll talk about what's going on, and this will make a lot more sense."
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.